at 3:59 p.m. on March 8th. I'd like a motion to approve the minutes of our February meeting.
Actually, do we need to
approve the agenda?
Approve the agenda? I move we approve the agenda.
I second.
No, all in favor by acclamation, I'll say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Public comment is welcome at this meeting. At this time, comments may be made on items not listed on the agenda that are of public interest. And within the subject,
there's no public.
There's no public, so we can dispense with that recitation. The minutes of our February 8th meeting, excuse me, I got ahead of myself. The previous approval was for the agenda. This is a request for approval of the February 8th meeting minutes.
I move that we approve the minutes as written.
I second.
All in favor, by acclamation, say aye. Aye. Indeed, so moved. Chris, could we get an update and a report from you, sir?
Sure. Thank you, Director Shore. So the CAO report, just a quick update on the Las Palmas Medical Plaza fire sprinkler installation project. It's moving along over there. As you can understand, with almost all of the suites occupied, it is just taking a little while to coordinate with all of the tenants and getting that project complete. But the tenants have been very good, as I understand, in working with our contractor to complete that. We do have the eastern part of the facility 80% complete at this point, and the west side is approximately 65% complete. With regard to occupancy, we are now down to one remaining suite that's about 1,280 square feet. We do have some interest in that suite that we should be receiving an LOI on that before long. So we're really looking hopeful at having the full property fully occupied here soon.
Hey, good news. Any other issues relative to the...
Yeah, and the five tenants that will be renewing this year, we don't anticipate any issues with them leaving. It's a great location, so they've been with us for a while. So,
What's the length of time of their renewals? 3 years?
Most of them are 5 years, but we do have some that are three.
Five. Okay. And do we have to anticipate any TNA?
It's very possible. There's some have to look at that haven't really had any major improvements done to them. So it's really just up to the tenants what they're anticipating. But at this point, we really don't know for sure.
Okay. As it relates to seismic, is the building part of our other project, or is that limited just to the hospital itself?
Just the hospital facility itself.
And do we have any concerns about the seismic status of this building?
It doesn't fall into any of those requirements, to my understanding.
Okay, so it's just an office building, a Class A office building.
Correct.
Okay. Any other questions regarding Mr. Christensen's report, ladies and gentlemen? If not, Conrado, you've got the floor.
I have nothing to report, thank you.
Okay, then you no longer have the floor. We've taken the floor away from you. Okay, moving along into the financial reports. I'm gonna go through the list and I have some issues that I just want some clarification on. The statement of operations of P&L, anybody have any issues or questions that would like to be raised at this point?
I have a question on page 11.
Please go ahead.
We have a line item that says mobile medical unit. You don't have like anything set, but we do have something on the budget. Could you just give me more details on that line item?
Okay, we'll get to the expenses in just a second. Let's start with the revenue side. I just have some questions on the revenue side, Chris. On pages 12 and 13, we have two major under budgets, if you will, on the expense side, which drove, why are these so far under budget?
You say a couple of items. Can you specify what we're talking about?
But I'm talking about the director's fee on 12 and the professional fees on page 13.
Which line item?
Can you talking about? Say which code, which number?
Okay, let me see if I can find them.
It's also on the screen, Director Shore.
One's $319,000 and the other one is $291,000 in the far right-hand side someplace.
Director Shore, maybe he's referring to the line item numbers such as 5130 or 5119.
Okay, except, all right, I didn't record that. I am sorry.
What did you say the amount was?
$319,000 and $291,000 under.
291.
Okay, total. Look at line 5,000. Total direct expenses, 291.
Okay.
5,000.
Okay, so direct expense. I thought I understood you say director expense. Forgive me. So most of that pertains to the wage expense is under, and most of that pertains to vacancies that we have not filled for staffing. But then there's several items involved in there too. So like, for example, on 5160 education expense, we're under budget there, 53,000. A lot of that is a function of, still being kind of in the COVID related things. And the board expense is under by 42,000. That's line 5200. And that's a component of, healthcare benefits and stipend expense that's under budget. So
okay, yeah, it's under budget, so it's a good thing. I'm just curious to know what the reasons were. And then on page 13,
and there is Director Shore, if I may, on page 10, there's kind of a nice summary there that's helpful. If go to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you,
Andrea. So if you refer to this page, this does a pretty good job. Eric puts this page together and it does a really good job of kind of identifying what's components of those variances. And this, we do an analysis, anything over 25,000. And so to Director Borja's, President Borja's question regarding the mobile medical unit, we did have budgeted in the budget to operate the medical unit. And we put that budget in, almost a year ago now, anticipating that we may be operating a unit. So that's budget that we have in there, but we don't have any expense toward it. And, it might be that, we probably really don't need to highlight this line item, but our rule with it is anything that has a variance of 25,000 we incorporate here.
Okay. And then if you look at 6,500, okay, go ahead, Les.
Just a question about the tax revenue. And I want to just put us back to page 4. I'll just tell you, on page 4, it says that tax receipts were 8% higher than the previous year. Were they 8% higher than the previous year, or were they 8% higher than budget that we budgeted?
8% higher than the prior year.
Okay, and which was obviously higher than we budgeted.
Didn't we
also budget the revenue, tax revenue, to go down?
It went up.
I know, but we budgeted a year ago. Okay.
This last year we did a 3% increase, and the 8% that you're talking about happened to be that particular item, that particular receipt on whole for the year. It's not quite 8%, but yeah, that large payment that we received was 8% higher than last year.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other questions about the P&L? The 319, the professional fees, what are some of the subsets of professional fees besides legal, obviously, and consulting?
That's most of it. I mean, we do have our PR communications expense is under budget by about $55,000, but our legal expense is under budget $96,000, and then the professional services is under $168,000. However, the professional services expense is more than likely going to exceed our budget for the year with the work that we're continuing to do with Kaufman Hall.
Right, that's what I was concerned. So, okay. So
that will catch up.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Can I just point out that, and I had to get used to this too, but if you look then on page 13, you can basically see under 6500, the breakdown of the professional fees. What, you know, how much is legal, how much is other stuff and things like that.
Right.
Okay.
Good point. That means you're looking at it, and that's the good point. That's the better point of all.
Yeah, so it really kind of depends if you want to look at the detail, Director Zendel's point there, and there, if you're wanting to just see a summary with some description, you can go to page 10.
Right. Okay. Any other questions about the P&L statements, the operating statements? Okay, moving on to the balance sheet. Any issues, concerns, questions about the balance sheet? Okay, the deposit.
I've never quite understood. It would be nice, Chris, if you could just say a sentence when it's appropriate. Does this balance sheet tell us anything? Because I'm trying to understand when I look at it, what should I learn from this balance sheet?
There was a few months back where we included the prior year comparison. I've always kind of been a believer that, to me, that's not really a good comparison, especially for our business.
But even without the comparison, just right, looking at this year, what does it tell us?
Okay, I was going there.
Okay.
Essentially, I think we need to understand that our cash, our investments, are very good, very strong. $65 million that we have under the district, good and bad, because we have grant budgeting that we, have budget for, and so we do have resources to pay for grants that could be awarded. The other component to that, the $63 million that we've maintained in that facilities investment fund, is really kind of has been for that purpose, for anything related to the hospital facility, more specific to seismic work. And so the seismic component has been hanging out there for several years, and it's becoming closer and closer to that time that we're going to need to do something. And although $60 million isn't enough to cover all of the work that's needing to be done with the seismic, at least we have a component there that could be used if that work is required for the district to pay for. So that's essentially what that's there for at this point. It was there to also serve if the operator were to renege on their lease agreement and walk away from operating the hospital. But I think we're pretty confident that Tenet is not going to do that at this point. So it's mainly there to cover if we need to do the seismic work.
I'm just wondering, again, people look at this and they say, oh, well, the district has $65 million investment account. Would it be worth having an asterisk, whatever it is, there explaining the few items that you just mentioned, that it's not like we're just sitting on this cash, but it is for the things you mentioned. I wonder if the public, if they look at this, will say, why is there so much money? Why isn't the district spending the money?
I don't think it's a good idea to bring attention to this. I think it's a structured report in every set of financials. and it reflects the numbers that are. It doesn't have any other dimensional meaning. And by doing what you're suggesting, I think you'd be opening this up to unnecessary discussion.
Well, I just think that the public might look at this, and I'd rather give them too much explanation than not enough and have them jump to their own conclusion.
Well, I'd like to have the public, I would agree with you if the public should ever raise the question with us. I'd be happy to give them more than enough information, but I think pre-feeding them the information at this point could turn out to be something you don't want to do, in my opinion. Karen?
Chris, is that 65 million what people say are reserves?
The 63 million is probably what people are calling a reserve, because we, in the past, we've called it a facilities reserve fund, but at this point we're calling it a reserve fund.
Right here it says investment account.
Right.
That's where it's located.
But this is a summary.
Okay, where does it say reserve fund?
All right, on page 17, it's still called Facilities Replacement Fund.
Okay, got it. See, I didn't follow my own instructions to look at the following pages that explain it. Sorry.
Okay.
Okay, any other questions about the balance sheet?
I think one thing with regard to Director Zendel's question about what can this tell us? One thing that I think is good to understand on this is line 1204.1, which is the rent receivable deferred COVID that we worked with some of the tenants on deferring their rent. It shows, this is one account that shows a good story where we had 176,000 of receivable a year ago. Today we have 116,000 remaining on that. And so we do have all of the tenants that have worked through that program are current on their payments. And so we're, I think we have a good relationship with those tenants, and it's been something that's worked out successfully for both sides. And then really that's kind of it. There's not a whole lot of other things that tells too much of a story.
Right. And generally speaking, Les, this balance sheets are used by agencies that evaluate our liquidity, evaluate our cash flow, evaluate the strength of our ability to sustain a loan. And granted, I would agree with Chris, those don't seem to be issues that fit within our profile per se, but that's really generally speaking what balance sheets, where balance sheets come into focus. The operating statement flows into it all the time. So when the day is done, this is really the profile of the financial profile of the organization. With the operating statement being the detail for how it gets to where it is, cumulative to the day the balance sheet was initiated.
And can you remind me on page 19 why the pension liability went from 4.6 million to zero?
Mm-hmm. Page 19. Yes, because when we reevaluated the retirement protection plan this year, if you'll recall, we had the valuation, the actuarial valuation firm reassess based on, instead of annuities, based on the lump sum payout factor. So what that did was change from having a net liability to a net asset. So if you go up to page 18, line 1742, it created a net asset of 1.7 million instead of the liability. So what it's doing is reflecting more accurately how the payouts are done. So essentially prior to this year when we were doing the assessment on annuities, it was saying that we were way underfunded if we were paying these people from the time that they retire until death. That's a pretty substantial number. But when we're paying them out at the time that they leave employment of the hospital, that's a much smaller number. And so what it's indicating is that we have more dollars in the investment account than we would actually have to pay out if everybody were to leave employment today from the hospital. So it's a good place to be in. It just shows the difference between a liability prior year and an asset this year.
Thank you.
Chris, that's not what happened to the Retirement Board of Directors medical liability, 2286 on page 19. That's because those board of directors passed away.
That was
Supple.
Yeah, Frederick Supple. So the Supple was one of the remaining retired directors that was subject to the district paying medical premiums in that. And the former director Supple passed away the prior year. So that liability then went away.
It used to be that once you were a director, you got your health insurance paid till death. And they did away with that.
Crazy times. Yes, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, any other questions related to the balance sheet, folks? Moving along, allocation of the district funds. I have a question about the accounts receivable and a name question about the accounts receivable. Why does Cal State owe us money?
This was a grant to Cal State, and they underexpended what monies were provided them. So there's $528 that they owe the district. So that's on our books as a receivable, and we'll follow up on collecting that.
We don't have to call the governor or anything, do we? Not for this. Not this time. Okay. Deposit detail. I have a question on page 21 about the tax receipts. They seem to be. I was looking at the summary sheet more than I was looking at the detail. We're way over on taxes, and that's just the function of the way the appraisals got done, and it finally came through the belly of the snake, so to speak, in terms of producing more income to us.
So all the property appreciations and the high sales values and all of that over the last couple of years, we're starting to see that increase
okay. in
property tax revenue.
Okay. Anything else about the deposits, folks? On the check register, I just have a question. I don't understand something. I'm not challenging it. I just need an understanding. Erica Husky got a $12,000 check. Can you explain the context of that transaction and how it and globalize it so I understand it from a
democratic point of view? So the healthcare district provides medical insurance coverage for the employees and dependents. And so most employees receive medical insurance through the district's healthcare insurance. However, this particular employee has a insurance through spouse's insurance.
Okay.
The component of that premium is much less than if the employee were to go through the healthcare district's insurance. So it's a equal fairness kind of a thing to the employee that the employee receive that reimbursement.
So it's negative double dipping, so to speak, in a positive sense of the word. You're just respecting, you're forwarding her the value of the premium that would otherwise have been spent on her behalf had she not have coverage from another source.
Correct. And okay. And had she gone through the district, it would have been, the premium would be much higher. So this is kind of a win-win situation.
Okay. Thanks for the explanation. Mm-hmm. Any other questions related to the check register?
Yes. Can we get an update on policy map? I know this was a conversation we had a while ago, but it hasn't come up again. So just curious, what are we purchasing here?
Conrado, do you have some input on that, please?
Yeah, Donna is ready to answer.
Oh, Donna, thank you.
Yeah, Director Borja, President Borja, we did purchase this a couple years ago with the intent of having 10 users for grantees that would learn how to use it, be able to plot different things on the mapping. And with COVID, it kind of went by the wayside, but we still kept it and we've been utilizing it. Jana's been using it to plot, to track various behavioral health components, but now that we're sort of getting back into swing again, we just renewed it for another year, and that's how much the $5,000 is. So you'll be seeing more usage of it and more interaction as the year goes on.
Donna, can you explain? I don't know what a policy map is. Could you give me a 30-second definition, please?
Good question.
What is it?
It is a software. It's a platform online where we display healthcare data related to the district.
Example.
You go to the website policy map and you can see health data related to our district.
What do you mean by health data? That's the question.
Actually, it helped us inform when we were doing the needs assessment, as well as what we were doing when we were looking at access to healthcare in Desert Highland Gateway. Megan was able to go in and look at all, put in the ethnicity and the racial and also the zip codes, and found out where the pockets were, and that they're also, as to President Borja's point, that there is a large community of Black and African American residents in Indio as well as Desert Hot Springs. So we were able to look at what we can start with through the data that we got, the health data and the zip code data at Desert Highland Gateway in that area, north end of Palm Springs, which then when we conclude this, or we see the impact what we're making, that we can, what the goal was to replicate what we are doing for access to healthcare in other rural areas that are underserved. So in that respect, we were able to find out what we actually needed and where the different populations were.
Thank you. I appreciate that insight. Moving along, anything related to the credit card expenditures that needs discussion?
Yes, I have a question on page 26, 6325, it says donation to Planned Parenthood, donation to Martha's Village and Kitchen. For full disclosure, Planned Parenthood is my employer. What do we mean by the word donation? Like an actual donation? Is it a sponsorship? Just very curious.
It is a contribution to their campaign.
Was that through a discretionary fund or how?
Correct.
A grant?
Yeah, it's through the discretionary fund.
Is there a way to add a little more detail versus like the word donation? It just kind of threw me off, and I think anyone seeing this might get thrown off too.
Do you have a recommendation for a different adjective?
Discretionary grant.
Well, that is another donation.
We'll take it under advisement. We'll leave it the way it is until further notice.
Didn't we talk about being transparent and having the CEO's discretionary fund actually have an item so that it could be tracked, and anybody that had a question about that, it would be easy for a director to look at it?
How would that work?
Well, I don't know, but right now it's mixed with Uber Eats and Grubhub, and I think those are different things.
But this is on the credit card, so all the items are going to be on the credit card.
Okay, so where is the light item, the budgeted item for the discretionary fund?
Was that actually defined in the policy? I don't recall it being.
Well, I mean, I think we talked about it. I don't know that we actually defined it. I mean, we can I mean, is there
I think it's good to do it. I just don't.
Is there any negative to doing it? I mean, you need to do it to keep track of it, right? Isn't there a set limit, an annual limit, a budgeted limit? And that way, and we said that you can't go over it. Well, if you're not tracking what goes into that bucket, how do you know?
Well, we are, because it's a line item on our financial statement. So we have a budget for the $25,000 on there. It's just that you don't see the detail of it. You just see.
Okay, where's the line item for the $25,000?
Okay, so if you go back to page 13, 6325.
Okay, and here on page 11 is also 6325. You said it's also on 13?
Yeah, it's just you have the detail on 13. It's more of an expanded page. So it's in the middle of the page on page 13. But either way, either page 11 or page 13, that line 6325, you see the actual that's paid there. So you see year to date under the third column from the right, you'll see 2000 expended to date. So that's those two $1,000 amounts, but you don't see the detail of it there. You just see the total.
Okay. So if it's charged to the credit card, it appears here. And if there's a check written, it appears under the check statement, right?
Yeah, on the check register, yes.
Okay. Well, again, I don't know if you want to send it to the policy committee, if it's a finance. I don't see a downside to segregating it out so that the directors can know what are some of the things that the CEO is spending from the discretionary fund.
So you're saying have a separate schedule here, kind of like the credit card expenditure that shows just specifically the CEO discretionary.
Well, I mean, it may not only be credit card, but, you know, I'd like to hear from the other directors. And also, Conrado, what do you think?
I think anybody who's concerned about it can see the detail by just doing a little cross-referencing page to page. Personally, I think you can over structure things that become highly duplicative. I mean, what's not available to be seen right now?
That donation too, right? Like, I did not know that was a discretionary fund.
So for example, we talked about that the CEO shouldn't have to ask anybody, the president or the board, how to spend his or her discretionary fund. On the other hand, the director should be able to see what it's spent on so that if there is a question, they can ask the question. That's the only point I'm trying to make.
I think the questions are being asked here very appropriately.
But only because Karen asked.
And they go into the minutes, and anybody has a concern would pick it up either in the minutes or by looking at the document.
I don't think it's very transparent. That's my opinion.
Okay, understood. How would you change it? I guess I don't get it. What would you want to do differently?
On page 13, it says year, charges, amount, purpose, description, participants. Maybe in the description, it could just say like CEO discretionary fund. That way, yes, we can go back to the minutes and we can take a look at these 2000 belong to that line item up there, and it makes sense.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
On page 26, across the top, middle of the page, you have the descriptors. You have year, month change, total charges, expense type, amount, and then purpose, description, participants.
Mm-hmm.
In that second to last column that says description, that might be the place where you put CEO discretionary fund.
Well, we have the GL account there under expense type, the 6325. However, we could put the description over there as CEO discretionary, then it stands out a little more.
That would be helpful. Also,
the only other option would be to do a schedule that just has CEO discretionary expenses on it, but that's that really calls it out then specifically then each month, but otherwise we can put the detail here like that.
I would suggest leaving the detail here and seeing if there's an issue. And I think if you would like, we can ask Chris at the next meeting to instruct the members of the board who aren't on this committee to give them some guidance on how to take a look at this information. We can surely make that an agenda item for the board meeting so that everybody gets oriented to this. And if it doesn't serve that need, then we can talk about changing these, making more schedules. But I'd like to suggest leaving it alone now and try and educate our colleagues as to how to find out the information. It's here and it's fairly transparent to me. But anyway, if there's anything to the contrary, we could put it in the context of someone raising a motion to instruct Chris to do something differently. But short of that, I'd suggest making it a department, an agenda item for a board meeting and just make sure it gets discussed.
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
Why doesn't the CEO and the CFO discuss it and see if they can come up with something that is a little bit more transparent, but is not cumbersome, and then bring it back to the next finance committee and let us talk about it again. I really don't want it to go to the board unless the staff and the finance committee have talked about it and feel comfortable with it.
That's fine. I would support that argument. That's a reasonable suggestion.
A good example is when board members Andrea purchases a ticket for us to an event. It'll pop up somewhere and it says like Karen Borja ticket for X event. Like she already has something in writing that's, I know, like this is part of the ticket policy. Like it's being discounted or it's part of the ticket policy. So she may already have some writing, but I agree. Conrado and Chris can take
this. I have a question. There is a GL code to every expense. Is it too difficult to reference the GL code? Because that's a reason why we have a GL code next to each expense.
I mean, we have that there, the 6325. It's just the directors would need to know that GL code 6325 is the discretionary fund code.
That's one way of doing it. But again, I don't know what the codes, all the codes are. Right.
Yeah, as not an accountant, I didn't even know what that GL meant.
General ledger.
General ledger.
Makes sense now, but before this.
Now you know. Now you can't say you don't know. Now you know.
To me, okay, let's move
the agenda on. Let Chris and Conrado discuss it. If they want to bring it back for further elucidation, we'll consider it at our next meeting. How's that?
Okay, but I think under description there would be easy to put CEO discretionary fund.
Okay, all right. So moving the agenda along, in the check register, we've done with that. Are there any issues related to the schedule of grants? Once again, the extra credits are now highlighted in green instead of yellow. We're making color changes. And Les, I hope you're comfortable with that. We lost one employee, obviously, so we're now down to 148 on our retirement protection plan.
Why don't I see green anywhere? Where's green?
Well, you'll see it later on the grant report. It's all the way on the bottom line, if I recall. Well, I saw it this afternoon when I looked at it. It again shows the excess cash coming forward from previous years, which was always an issue that you were very focused to, as I recall. in the schedule of grants, which is the next, item.
Yeah, I still don't see any green, but anyway, all I see is yellow, red, and black.
There we go. There's green. Bottom of the page.
What you see as yellow, he sees as green.
Oh, so, am I colorblind or is
Arthur? You're colorblind. You're absolutely colorblind. I
see what color? Yellow too. So.
Yeah, everybody who sees yellow, raise your hand.
Okay, so I'm colorblind. I'm seeing green. I'm seeing 5 million in green.
I was ready to make an eye doctor appointment. Boy.
Oh, that's definitely green, but that's okay. That's what makes a horse race. Okay. Any other questions related to our operating statements, ladies and gentlemen? If not, the next item on the agenda is...
A vote, if you would, please.
We need to have... it's true. I'd like to call for a motion to accept the financials as presented and as discussed with follow-up as noted.
I motion all of that.
Second.
All in favor by acclamation, say aye. Aye. Okay, we've approved that. We have one other item on the agenda. Chris, would you like to introduce the property maintenance agenda?
Absolutely, yes. So InPro EMS Construction has been our property maintenance contractor at the Medical Plaza for the last probably 5 years or so. So they're up for an annual renewal to their contract. They've been doing a great job. They're also the contractor that's been overseeing the fire sprinkler installation. They have a good relationship with our tenants over there. And in my opinion, they're doing a good job. So we're proposing a 3% increase to their contract, which would begin May 1st of this year, recommending approval.
Are there any questions about that? I think if we can get away with 3% in this day of hyperinflation, we're way ahead of the curve.
I move we accept it.
I'm sorry?
I move we accept the proposal.
Is there a second?
I second.
All in favor by acclamation, say aye. 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 Okay, we have a one-year contract extension proposal ready to go to the board. Any other new business not on the agenda that is worthy of this committee? If not, I'd like to call for an adjournment of the healthcare district meeting and with a 5-second tape delay pause, I'd like to call the foundation meeting to order unless anybody needs a break. Okay, calling the foundation meeting to order at 4:42 p.m. Motion to approve the agenda, ladies and gentlemen.
A motion to approve.
Second.
By acclamation, I'll say aye. Aye. Andrea, do we have any public visitors that require a disclosure statement?
No public comments.
No public comments. We'll dispense with that. The FNA meeting minutes for the foundation of February 8th. Require formal action. I entertain a motion to that effect.
So moved.
I second.
All by acclamation, say aye. Aye. So moved. Conrado, you're welcome to advise us.
Thank you. No report.
Thank you, sir. Chris, we can look at the financials again, starting with the P&L statement on pages 6 and 9. Statement of operations. Any questions, concerns, issues related to the P&L? Any questions and concerns or issues related to the balance sheet? Now that we understand the balance sheet a little bit more than we did 10 minutes ago.
None
yet. Restricted funds. Is there anything we need to discuss related to restricted funds?
I think the thing that's important, and I always communicate this at each meeting, is that we are utilizing our internal resources. So just keeping that in mind as far as, paying overhead and that to the healthcare district.
Okay, so it's an internal cash, it's an internal booking transfer. Thank you. Anything related to the deposit detail? The check register?
I have a question about credit cards to the staff. I'm super new to this committee, so this question may have already been asked, but some of these reimbursements are really large in dollar amount, and I'd hate to like have to have staff wait to not have that money in their account. Just wondering about other staff credit cards.
Alejandro does have his own card. We just need to get him to use it more frequently.
Okay. Okay, then that was my question. He must be okay with it then. I just
he's good with the way we're doing things, and the reason we did get him the company credit card is because he was having some very large substantial reimbursements, especially earlier on in the pandemic time period.
Right, but the items are all within normal limits, and the big items are basically office supplies and car rental and
a lot of things associated with the Coachella Valley Equity Collaborative with right. the COVID work that we're exactly. doing.
Notice the fuel for rental truck. We'll never see that number again for the next 6 months. I mean, if anybody's been to the service station recently, it's a there's some sticker shock that we're going to enjoy there as citizens and as an organization. Moving along to the schedule.
I have one more question.
Yes, ma'am.
On page 11, can you tell me who Karina Cáceres is?
Say it again.
One, Karina Cáceres, she doesn't have a descriptor next to her.
That was the food event for the vigil.
Okay.
It was done several months ago. We just had received the invoice for it.
Oh, okay.
It was done back in November, I think, the vigil that was done for the COVID situation.
I think it's important to just put a descriptor on some of those folks.
That's fine. We can add that.
And what's Coach Elias, now that you raised the question, on 5299?
That I think was another event
coordinator
expense for. So we had those events going on with Promotoras and that over the last few months.
Okay,
that was yes. Just for a clarification, that was a group of women that decorated schools as we were having a
event
for kids, vaccination event for kids.
That's right.
Okay, good. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Okay. Anything related to the schedule of grants? Donna, anything of consequence here that's out of the ordinary or worthy of discussion?
Oh, thank you.
These
are mostly the pass-through CARES dollars.
Yeah, there's no green on this page, so that's okay. We all agree on that. No green, no yellow. Okay, is there any new business that has to come before this committee? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. Oh my God, there's green. There's green again. Some people see yellow, some people see purple. It's just the roads and cones, as they say in the biology world. Okay, can I entertain a motion? Rods and cones. Excuse me. Well, you see, somebody went to medical school and got it right. Okay, rods and cones. I only went to biology 101. Okay. Anyway, we'll stand adjourned, ladies and gentlemen.
Before we, did we do a vote on the financials for the foundation? If we did,
no, we did not. You're right. Thank you. We do need to entertain a motion to approve the financials.
So moved.
Second.
And all by acclamation say aye. Aye. Okay, we stand in approval. And now with that having taken care of, ladies and gentlemen, I call for adjournment at 448. Thank you very much for your attention and your courtesy and starting the meeting a little later. Thank you. Stay safe, everyone. Bye-bye.